Reading verse 6, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and beginning verse 6, and a lot of scripture. I encourage you to take the little pamphlet that we gave to you this morning and read over it this afternoon, and a lot of good scripture you can study and everything along with that. And we're going to preach a message along that lines about faith promise, missions given. And I know that the Lord's blessed our church and blessed Gospel Way down through the years to be a very mission-minded church. And we thank God for that. And this is more like praying about what God would have you to give throughout the year, and just to pray and committing to the Lord what God wants you to do. And the Bible says, and we'll read this here in this passage here, it tells us that we ought to purpose in our heart, as he purpose in your heart, let him give. Everyone stand, if you would, and begin in verse 6. The Bible says, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth the cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower both ministereth bread for your food, and supply, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God." Amen. Correctly read, us reading 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 11. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in the word of prayer and ask God's blessing on the reading of his word and this part of the service. Amen. Brother Johnny, would you lead us in prayer?
Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this day and for your blessings, Lord. We pray that you go with us now into the remainder of the service, Lord. We pray that you give Pastor, Lord, the message you'd have him to preach today, Lord. Apply it to our hearts, Lord. We thank you for all that you've done for us, Lord. We pray that Gospel Way and its members here just continue to be a lighthouse unto this world, unto this town, always pointing unto you, Lord. This we all ask in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Here in this passage, I know that I've heard it shared many times before about the missions given from this passage of Scripture, and I believe a very good passage of Scripture. In fact, it's something that in the first letter to the church at Corinth, there's a little bit about missions given, there's a little bit about giving, but really the first letter was to take care of some problems in the church. And the first letter that was given to them, evidently they took care of some problems, or hopefully they took care of some problems between the first letter and the second letter. And then when the second letter came, really there was more admonition and some more teaching points that Paul could give them than what he did in the first letter. Amen. And praise God, if we grow in the Lord and we're not like the church at Corinth was at the beginning, babes in Christ and childish, and we put away the childish things, he said, we can go on to some better things, praise God. We can go on to continue to go forward for Jesus Christ. And really, if you think about it, boy, what a blessing to think about a new year coming up and say, praise God, we've had some struggles in the past, and last year we had some things we had to deal with, but thank God it's over with. As the Scripture said, it came to pass. Amen. And this too shall pass, whatever you're going through. But now, as we enter into a new year, we have an opportunity to say, praise God. As I've said before, I preached a message some time ago about the excitement of an empty calendar. We can look through the calendar and say, you know, throughout this year, we haven't, other than the last 5 days that we went through, and six when we get done with this one, but we haven't committed any sins, we haven't missed any opportunities, we haven't failed to give to God as God would have us to, so we can look forward to a whole new year with an open, empty slate, if you will, an empty calendar that we can fill it up with the goodness of God, we can fill it up with doing something for Jesus Christ. What a blessing. What an opportunity that we have. And amen. Praise God, we've had a good service thus far, amen. And I appreciate the singing, the Lord blessing and moving in the choir, amen. That's a blessing. I was about to shout over there, amen. I had a base, but I knew they wasn't but 20 foot of cord on that base. I didn't know how far I could get. We've got to fix that. Amen. But anyhow, and you say, well, preacher, how in the world, after we have a good service and the Lord already moving and feeling the Spirit of God, how are you going to preach on giving? It's going to get quiet, preacher. You preach on giving, it's going to get quiet. Well, no, not really. It shouldn't. Because the Bible says there, God loveth the cheerful giver. Amen. God loveth the cheerful giver. And I began to think as God was moving in the service, I thought, man, we may experience something great around Gospel Way that we hadn't experienced before. I mean, you think about it. I've been a couple different times somewhere where I've seen a great spirit of giving move upon God's people, and it's been the greatest thing I ever seen. You say, well, preacher, you know what? You've been in some good services, and you probably have too, and we talk about some good meetings and everything. We talk about getting together and shouting and praising to God and having a good time in the Lord, but if we don't do something outside the building, what good is it? Amen. What good is it for us to have a good time in the Lord and shout and praise the Lord? And I'm not trying to put no damper on it. But what I'm saying is, if it doesn't move us to do something outside of the building, if it doesn't move us to do more than a shout, then I reckon our shout really dies out pretty quick. But if it charges our heart and it charges our battery and it gets to our heart, praise God, and it gets to our pocketbook and it gets to our mind and it gets to our talents and it gets to our abilities and it gets to all of those things, and we get motivated for Jesus Christ, I say hallelujah, let's keep a shouting and let's get the shout where it needs to be in our heart, praise God. Well, I told you about those experiences before. I'll never forget a preacher up in Tennessee. Well, Brother Fred Potter, and we've supported mission works before that are out of his church and out of his mission board and the children's home, all that, and there's a great work going on there, and we've had some by here. I remember one time he had a missionary that was out there, and I believe it was Romania, and they'd been supporting him for a good while and helped him get out there and everything, and just didn't even think about it that the missionary didn't have a car. Here he had been going and working and everything. He'd been riding a bicycle. He'd got him a bicycle, and he'd went to several hundreds of homes, maybe up into thousands of homes that he went to. And every one of them, he went to them on a bicycle. And for some reason, another pastor said, and you just have to know him, he just said, well, Lord God, he ain't got no car. We got to get him a car. He said, let's take up an offering. And then he said, and you know, they talked about how much more it's going to cost over there and everything. And God moved on that crowd, and God blessed, and they had enough in that one offering to buy him a brand new car. I said, Lord God, I ain't never seen a bunch of country folks. It wasn't no rich people, wasn't no millionaires in there. But God moved on God's people with a spirit of giving, and God blessed, and God took care of the need. I've seen it happen before up at Fellowship Track League. I've seen it happen there at Fellowship Baptist Church, and they'd get up and talk about a need. In fact, one time I was there, and they said, let's go over here and let's pray that God will add us a new press right here. In fact, I was one of the men that we knelt down right there, and right beside another pastor from Michigan, we knelt down right there where they was going to put that press. And we prayed that God would open up the door and God would bless. And it wasn't but a little bit after that. They needed just a little bit more. And God took care of the need. And in fact, it was a little bit short. And somebody put a little note on top of the offering plate with all the rest of the money and said, whatever we don't get, I'll take care of the rest. And you say, well, did they take care of it? Yes, I went up a few months later for the dedication. Amen. And we went shouting around, couldn't kneel where that thing was. They had her bolted down then. But you know what? God can bless with a spirit of giving if we'll just get in line with what God wants us to do individually. I mean, what God wants us to do individually, and God will take it and bless it for His glory. In fact, I'll never forget, and I'm going to try to get, I got 3 points. I'm trying to get through the introduction real quick, okay? But I've shared this with you before, and I never did bring it with me until this morning. But I used to, this is proof. I went to school, okay? I brought some of my school work with me from high school. All right? This was my little note card that I put together when I made a presentation at school. I tell you what, young people, use every opportunity you can for Jesus Christ. Amen. Use every door you can. They say oral report. I hated that. I didn't want to give an oral report. I didn't want to stand in front of people. But if I could, I'd use that opportunity to tell about Jesus Christ. And I did it one time. We had an opportunity to do an oral report, and you know, of course, sometimes you have to stay with a certain topic or subject or whatever. And I forget how I was able to do this, but I did. And my topic was missions. And I'll just give you my little outline here. It said the need of foreign missions. Our church's mission conference. Our church had just had a mission conference. I'll tell you about that in a minute. The missionaries of our church, their support by our church, the need for more missionaries, the sometimes greater need of missionaries in our own town. This is kind of closing, okay? Bringing all things together, bringing all these things back together. I didn't have good notes, did I? Anyhow, this is my notes. This ain't the report, okay? I'd have got an F on this, I know. This was my notes to do the report and to read the report, oral report. Closing by saying, I am a missionary even to you now. And that's the true thing. I mean, that covers about all of it. I mean, that covers it all. World mission, we think about what God have us to do in our church, pray about what God wants us to do. God blesses and God opens the door and God brings some missionaries in and we can't support them all and maybe we shouldn't say that a lot. I try not to say that a lot because I have found a few churches that end up supporting everyone they ever had come in. That'd be a blessing, wouldn't it, if God would allow us to do that. That's a place to say amen right there. Amen. I mean, you say, preacher, well, we can't. Well, you don't know if we can. We can do all things through Christ which strengthens us. Amen. So it'd be good. And I know another church, God bless them, they support every missionary they had for $100 a month. Every one of them. I say, praise God. That's a blessing. Just what God wants us to do, what God has us to do, what God has around the corner, God can do some great and some mighty things if we'll just believe Him. Well, I'll never forget our first mission conference church, first time I was ever introduced to missions, and we had a little, one of these, it was a little bit different. In fact, I think it was from the same organization, BIMI. We support two different missionaries that's with them right now, Brother Dale Painter in Pennsylvania, and also Brother Alan Jackson in Honduras is with BIMI, and appreciate them supplying this for us, and also a video that we're going to show tonight. But they had a little prayer card, I mean a little faith commitment card, and I signed one myself when I was a little boy. And there's the one I did when I was a little boy. And the only money I had coming in was the grass I cut around Cherville. There's some grass that was cut around Cherville that I got the money to put together with my tithes, above my tithes and offering, to give to missions as a little boy. Somebody asked me about handing them out. I said, yeah, go ahead and hand them out to the kids. I mean, if they get allowance, if they get any kind of money, hand them one of them cards. Amen. But anyhow, I'll never forget making that commitment to the Lord about what God have us to give. I'll never forget the missionary conference. I can tell you the three missionaries that were there. And I mean, I'm talking about, I was about 9 or 10 years old at the time. I can tell you three. One of them was with the Rock of Ages Prison Ministry. It was a Brother Duncan he flew an airplane. A lot of the places he went, he flew from one prison to the next and to preach the gospel in those prisons. And God blessed him in a great way. He had went through a lot of health trouble, and he shared that with us and continued to. And God blessed him in a great way and used him in a great way. I guess he's still living. I don't know. But anyhow, we see him. It's been a few years ago since I seen him, actually. But up in Spruce Pines, the last time I seen him, I believe. But then we also support another missionary who actually came to this country, and God burdened his heart to go back to the country he was from. And that happens a lot of times. God plants that seed when somebody's there. I've seen people in the military that have been stationed somewhere in the military, and God touched their heart and burdened their heart to go back to that country. We had one in, it was in Japan. He was in the military in Japan, and God burdened his heart to go back to Japan and start churches. And but this brother had been from Brazil. I'll get in a minute. He was from Brazil, I believe it was, and he came to this country. He was in New York. And he got saved in New York, praise God. Amen. God saves everywhere, don't he? Amen. But he was in New York City, and God touched his heart and burdened his heart about getting saved. He went to a rescue mission, and he got saved by the grace of God. The only problem was he couldn't speak a lick of English and couldn't read no English. He was, the only thing he knew was Spanish. And of course, knew it fluent. That's all he'd ever known and everything. And I mean, this is several years ago. It's back in the early 80s, or excuse me, back in the, that's when he got saved, back in the 70s. And, one thing that God did for him, it was so miraculous, and he told the testimony of it. He said, they didn't nobody teach me how to speak English and the written. He was good. He sounded like he was born in America. And, but he said, God taught me. He said, the next thing I did after I got saved, I went and bought a King James Bible, and I learned how to read with God teaching me how to read out of a King James Bible. I said, that's about as good as it gets. Amen?
Amen?
But God blessed him, used him in a great way. God burdened his heart to go back to his people in Brazil and start churches, and God used him in a great way. He went on to be with the Lord. I believe he resided in Tennessee before he went to graduate to heaven, praise God. And then another missionary I remember we supported was a missionary to Argentina. And he was a third generation missionary. The Chaplin family had been in Africa, had been in South America, had been in different countries for three generations. And God had blessed him. God used him in a great way. In fact, one of the stories that he tells about was when communities that he was working in, and several folks got saved by the grace of God. There was a really revival moving in. Folks were getting saved in this little community, this little village there in Argentina. But there was a witch doctor that came back to the community and came back to the area and wanted to bring these people back over to him. And he announced he was going to have a fire walk. He announced he was going to light those coals and he was going to walk across the fire barefooted, and man, the whole crowd was looking forward to that. Here this missionary hung his head and he said, Lord, what am I going to do? This whole crowd's going to listen to that old witch doctor again, and I don't know what to do. Every seed that's been planted is going to be plucked up by the devil. He just prayed and asked God what to do, and it was on the night that they was going to have that fire walk, and that witch doctor was going to go across there, big old crowd, everybody all around there. He prayed and asked God what to do, and God said, take off your shoes.
Amen.
He said, do what? And he prayed again. But he said before long, he said, well, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. And after that guy got done walking across the fires, the preacher man took his King James Bible and put it up and under his arm, took his shoes off and walked across the fire just like that witch doctor did. And when he got done, he opened up his Bible and started preaching. Didn't miss a lick. Preached the Word of God. Souls got saved. God blessed. The old witch doctor tucked his tail and left. I ain't got enough time to tell you the rest of the story, but later on, that witch doctor, God kept dealing with his heart, and praise God, that witch doctor got saved.
Amen.
Amen. God's able to save. I tell you what, we may not understand everything that goes on. We may not understand, know everything about other cultures and other lands, but God is sending somebody there and teaching them about that culture and teaching them about that land and teaching them that language that they can go preach where you can't go.
Amen.
You don't have to learn everything about Brazil. You don't have to learn everything about Honduras. We hear our missionaries come by and tell us about it. We read about it. We hear about what's going on. We don't have to learn the language. God has sent somebody else. Well, I'll say, unless God sends you.
Amen.
If God sends you, then you're going to have to learn the language. Then you're going to have to get in with the culture there and find out how God wants you to reach those people. But I tell you what, God has blessed our church so greatly with a well-rounded mission program. We got six different works we're reaching out in the foreign missions, and then six different home missions, and six different ones that are reaching in home and foreign missions, and we got several local projects going on in our church. And God's just blessing over and over again. God's a blessing. And I tell you what, it's something to be excited about. It's something to shout about. It's something to praise God about. But it's not going to happen by sight. God's going to bless it by faith. God's going to bless it by faith. Let me give you the message. Praise God. Faith promise is a faithful promise. Faith promise is a faithful promise. Our faith promise is based on God's faithful promises. We stand on the promises of God. Like I said the other Sunday, I guess it was, I was talking about having, that authority and that position and everything. And, of course, the Lord's got authority over all. And sometimes we think that's a thing that's to be envied or whatever, to have authority, whatever. But I made the illustration about my wife. I said she's glad that that God has put me in authority, because she says, well, if anything goes wrong, it's His fault. She just throws the buck back on me. That's your fault, because you're the husband, so it's your fault. You're in charge. That ain't always a good position, is it? But I tell you what, it's a blessing to realize that if we'll just trust God and believe God, and we say, God, what do you want me to do? And God lays it on your heart. And we put it back on God. We say, well, God, you promised you'd supply. I'm just going to pray, and I'm going to see it come in, and I'm going to give it. We put it back on God. It's no pressure on us. We put it back on God because we believe God's promises. The way to make a faith promise is to believe the promise of God. To believe God is faithful, everything that He's promised. Let me give you a few points and I'm done. First of all, we see His faithful promise of salvation. The Bible says in Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. You say, preacher, why are we concerned about missions? Why are we concerned about foreign missions and home missions? And we're concerned about our local missions. Why are we concerned about reaching out? Because that's the only reason that Jesus came to this earth, is to die for lost sinners.
Amen.
You say, preacher, I'm saved. I'm all right. I'm ready to go. That's all right. Well, what about those that haven't heard yet? What about those that are lost in our community? What about those that are lost around the world? We're to reach out to them. We're to reach out to them because Jesus died for them just as much as He did for you. We don't understand it. We get in a big culture shock. A year ago, I went down there to Jamaica, and just a whole different scene, just a whole different attitude of folks and the way folks live and the way the folks do and everything. But you know what? God loves them just as much as He does us. God loves somebody over in Africa just as much as He does us. God loves those Chinese folks just as much as He does us. God loves those folks in India just as much as He does us. We forget about that sometimes. We sit here in America and we sit back on the blessings of God, and we sit back on a country that's founded on God's principles and founded on the Word of God, and that's something to praise God and shout about.
Yeah. Amen.
But there's some that have never heard.
Amen.
There's some that need the gospel. There's some that we need to pray that God will bless us, and we'll get a track to them. We'll get a track to somebody that can give them the plan of salvation. We'll get a Bible to them. We've had this Bible sitting up here for a good while. This is a Beams Bible. We support the Beams ministry. It costs $6 to put this thing together. And we support and we take care of three Bibles every month. That ain't much, but it's getting in three different families every single month. Three different families somewhere in the world. We got letters back there on the back wall from the Philippines, from Africa, from Russia, from all countries around the world. And they're writing back and they're saying, thank you, Gospel Way, for sending this Bible. Thank you for giving that we can have a Bible in there that we can read. And they're not all in English. Amen. If they're going over to the Philippines, the two main languages, I can't even pronounce them, but anyhow, there's a couple different languages, several different languages. Some of them have different languages that they print and send them in those languages where they can read and understand the Word of God themselves. But the Lord's come to seek and save that which is lost. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. Now here it is. We're talking about a faith promise, but we're saying it's based on God's faithful promises. And we may be slacking our promises sometimes. We ought not be. Especially about this, we ought to pray what God wants us to do and do it.
Amen.
But the Bible says that the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance.
Amen.
He wants all to be saved.
Amen.
All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the Lord wants all to be saved. He wants folks to be saved around this world. Then not only that, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23, the Bible says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he, and this is in parentheses, for he is faithful that promised. God is faithful. Thank God we can make that promise and we can pray about what God wants us to do, because there is some promises in God's Word that God says are true. God says that He wants souls to be saved. He wants folks to be saved around this world. Listen, not only that, let me say there's a promise of supply. Let me give you this in this passage that we read. Look at verse 8. Now, praise God, I'm getting back around to my text, okay? Verse 8, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. God is able. The reason we can do it is because God is able. Not because we're always able, but because God is always able. He's able to make a grace abound to you. So praise God, don't sow sparingly, sow bountifully. Give is God's purpose, you see. The Bible tells us in Luke chapter 6 and verse 38, I never forget, I put together one of those. Amen. I signed that one years ago. I nearly put, tell you what I put on it then. I put $3 a week. Now, if you may think less of me there, but some of them loans I cut wasn't my $5 back then, okay? I get $5 for $5. I mean, one elderly lady, I used to cut her grass all the time, and I got $5. I tried to go up on the price, but I just knew she couldn't afford it, and I said, that's okay. But after that, she started giving me an orange juice. So I got $5, and about halfway through cutting it, I got orange juice. you cut a few lawns for 5 days. It'd take a while to save up just that $3 a week to put in. But I tried to be faithful to do that for God. Bible says, what I was going to say a while ago, later on, I put together some little missions card myself, little faith promise cards. We had a brother in a church that had a printing press, and he printed them things off. I wrote the thing up and put it together. I put one verse of Scripture on it, and it's this verse right here I want to give you. Luke 6:38. The Bible says, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. You can't get no better than that, can you? Praise God. I mean, God says He's giving back to you good measure. Well, that's good. Praise God. It'd be good if God would give back good measure. But He said, no, I'm going to give you a good measure, and then I'm going to press it down. And then I'm going to shake it up where it'll settle down a little bit more. And then I'm going to fill it up again, and it's going to run over. Amen. You know what? We could enjoy the blessings of God just over on the run over. Amen. Ain't that a blessing? And He says, and shall men give unto your bosom, for with the same measure that ye shall meet withal, it shall be measured unto you again. I tell you what, and you know, I'm sure everyone else could give some story of God supplying and taking care of a need. I know there's been many times we prayed about something, didn't know where the money's going to come from, and then there'd be some kind of unexpected check in the mail. Amen. I mean, something I didn't even think about, refund on some kind of insurance or something or whatever, you know, and something you wouldn't even think about. Or somebody would say, I was just thinking about you and praying about you. That's the ones that makes me shout, praise God. Somebody says, I was just praying about you and thinking about you, and they sent something in the mail. Amen, or something just, I mean, you didn't think about, but you know what? God knows about it. God's taking care of it. God's keeping a record, praise His name. Amen. God makes some promises about supply. In Malachi chapter 3, we're talking about offerings, we're talking about missions given. This talks about tithes and offerings. We often leave that out sometimes. We say, oh, Malachi 3 is about tithes. Well, God never told us to stop there. That's where we start at. Amen. That's where we start at. That's not where we stop. He said, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me, but you say, wherein have we robbed thee in tithes and offering? Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes in the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. I believe that's the church today. For our day and time, I believe that's the church. I don't know. I don't think anybody else has set their own house up. I believe that's a church. Amen. I mean, but anyhow, He goes on to say, if I will not prove me now, herewith saith the Lord, if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, and there shall not be room enough to receive it.
Amen.
I've said this before. As far as I know, there's no other place in that King James Bible that tells you that if you do something, God's going to open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. Now, I know we've misapplied it a lot of times. I mean, we've said before, oh boy, didn't we have a good service? God just opened up the windows of heaven and poured out a blessing. Well, he might if you'd had a house full of tithers. Because that's the only place I read it in the book. Amen. I mean, you know, praising the Lord and shouting, praising God. And I guess we could apply that. We could use that. But the only place that God used it in his book is when somebody was faithful to do what God wanted them to do about their finances. They didn't rob God. They didn't take it away from God. They started at that point of tithing and they went on for the glory of God. And God blessed them and he said, I'm opening up the windows of heaven. I'm giving you out a blessing that you won't be able to receive it. Praise God. I'm thankful too. Let me just throw this in right here. I'm thankful to be a part of a church that doesn't plan to ever have any bake sale, cake sale, hot dog sale, all that bunch of garbage to try to keep the church up.
Amen.
I tell you what they're doing when churches do that a lot of times. They got a bunch of folks that don't believe in tithing and they're trying to go bypass the Word of God and they're trying to drag the money in like that. And that's not the way God would have it to be done. Amen. Now, you know, I mean, against something, some kind of project or whatever on the side or whatever, but the operation of the church, God has set aside the tithes to take care of the local church, praise God. And God's going to bless and God's going to increase as we continue to go forward for his name. And I tell you what, it's just an extra special blessing to get together about what God wants us to do about missions and about offerings, and God's just going to throw that hallelujah, that overflow blessing to his people. Now I know, you know, you say, well, preacher, you sound like that blab it and grab it crowd, you know, that you preach against. Well, you know, there is a crowd that says, you know, you give a certain amount, you know, and God will bless you and God will prosper you. There's one preacher, he comes on every week, I guess he's still on, and he said $1,000. I don't know why he didn't say $10, Brother Pete. Well, I do know why. He wouldn't be driving that car he's got and have the house he's got probably. But he says, your seed blessing to me is $1,000. Now, how did he know God was going to purpose in my heart to give him $1,000? Which I ain't going to do it, but... There were some people so excited. We'd go places, we'd travel around the country, and I'm just going to throw this in here. I mean, you feel like you hit the plow pretty good hard somewhere, you just leave it there, okay? I mean, if you ain't going to amen on that, I'll preach on that a little harder, okay? But we traveled around the country, 17 different states on the East Coast, and there's one place they talked about, and we said we were 35 miles away from Charlotte. They thought we was 35 miles away from heaven back in the 80s. They thought we was about 35 miles away from heaven, called PTL. Because up through West Virginia and Ohio, them poor people had gave every dime they had to that place. Some of them had never been, some of them had never went, some of them paid for places and spots to stay there. They started off paying for spots to stay down in that hotel and they'd pay for it and then they'd come down there and they couldn't stay because it'd be full. They said they'd have a place to stay. Then they'd have to go off and pay for another motel somewhere. That happened over and over again. But the thing about it was, ain't it sad that also under, they was doing some things for the Lord, but also under that, there was a lot of sin and there was a lot of things going on that was wrong before God. But people were giving everything they could give to that. You know what would be a blessing? If fundamental, Bible-believing, Baptist churches, missionary-minded churches, that folks would start giving what they could to that, greater than anything else around there and any other work outside of the local church, what a blessing it would be.
Yes, it would.
I tell you what, every missionary I talk to, almost every, I'll say almost because I don't, not every single one of them, but almost every single missionary I talk to thanks God for churches like this. You say, preacher, we're small. No, there's a bunch of missionaries out there praising God and thanking God for these small churches. You say, we don't give much. Yes, but that little bit adds up. and little as much when God's in it. And I know there's been a many a missionary that said there's a lot of big churches in the fundamental independent Baptist circles that don't even let them come in anymore because they've got their own mission boards or they've already got somebody they're supporting to that country or that country. And they are thanking God for these little churches that are supporting them and taking care of them all along the way. Now, I can't see it. I can't put it together in my mind, in my mind's eye, but I just say, God, praise your name. We're just going to keep on keeping on. We're going to keep on giving. We're going to keep on supporting missionaries. And I know God's going to bless.
Amen.
I know God is blessing.
Yeah.
He's promised He'll supply. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. But my God shall supply all. Does that say part, half, one quarter? No, all.
Amen.
All your need according to His riches. And that's never going to run out. His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Then last of all, let me give you this. Our faith promise is based on God's faithful promises. His promise of salvation, His promise of supply, and then last of all, His promise for our surrender to His will. He promises some things if we surrender to His will.
Amen.
I mean, I ain't asking you to make a pledge. Doesn't say anywhere here about a pledge. I'm asking you to make a promise to the Lord. And it's just between you and the Lord. And you find out what God wants you to do. And then you surrender to that. And God is faithful to do some things for us that'll surrender to His will. Bible says in verse 7, we gave you this before, back to our text again. Every man according as he purposed in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. I like how God's put it together, don't you? God says not grudgingly, not of necessity. We're not up here begging. We're not up here. I mean, God says God's going to take care of it. So we're just believing God. And the Scripture says not grudgingly. God, we ain't saying, you know, oh, I'm going to give it because the preacher said we need to do something there. No, just keep it.
Amen.
Just keep it. God's not going to bless you for it. God's not going to bless us. But just cheerfully. Amen. Somebody said that Greek word cheerfully there is the same word that can be translated hilarious. Somebody said give till it hurts. No, give till it's funny.
Amen.
Give till you start laughing, praise God.
Amen, brother.
You know what? I tell you what, a tither is funny to this world.
Yeah,
a tither is funny to this world.
We
had somebody that was a surgeon general that stood up there and said, we're a bunch of crazy people. If we give 10% of our income or more to a church or an organization, they said, and if you spend more than three times a week or more than two times a week, excuse me, there, and a bunch of different lists of things like that that fit in with every Bible-believing Christian I know.
Amen.
And they said those type of people are what you need to watch out for in America. I tell you what, those type of people is what's holding America together.
Yes, amen.
Amen. Across the Bible Belt, across the heart of America, and we can go on and on about that. Ain't something that somebody that at one time was a preacher was able to give a nomination, but of course it wasn't up in the New England states or anything like that. It was in Iowa, wasn't it? Ain't that something? But that speaks something about the heart of America. That speaks something about, and the heart of America didn't nominate a woman for president either. So, but anyhow, come in third, ain't that something? But anyhow, and you know, I've heard people saying this, and I believe this. We ought to pray that God would put a good man in there, put a Christian man in there. And I keep saying the word man when I say that, so.
Amen.
All right, Lord God, you know that wasn't in there, was it? Listen, last of all, we need to surrender to His will. His will. His will, not our will. Bible tells us there, not grudgingly or necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And we sung a song a while ago, near to thee. Bible says in James 4:8, draw nigh to God, and He'll draw nigh unto thee. Matthew 6:33, and we can spend a lot of time on this verse, but I'm not going to. But seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you, and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I believe God has got a plan for the local church, and it involves every one of us. God has a plan for this local church, and it involves every one of us, that we would just do what God wants us to do. You pray about what God would have you to give, and you can fill out that card, and we'll have a place you can put it back there at the back if you want to this morning even. But come back tonight. We'd love for everybody to come back tonight. We're going to show a video about a missionary family, and they were going to, God had burdened their heart to China, actually, but they ended up going to Nepal, I believe it is. There's a lot about their family and what God did, and God touched their heart. It's real close to us, really. The family was down in Greer, South Carolina, actually. And it tells a lot about missions given and everything. And I believe it'll touch your heart. I don't believe you'll be the same after you watch that video tonight. But I trust God's blessed us and met with us this morning also. But you take that and has a place where you can tear off part of it, and you can take care of that and pray about that this afternoon and do that tonight also. But you know, it's a blessing that God says that everything can just go right in order of what He wants done. Bible says in Acts 1:8, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost come upon you. Be witness to me both in Jerusalem and Judea and in Samaria and the othermost part of the earth. We don't need to leave any of that out. We start right here in the local. We reach out in home missions. We reach out in foreign missions. And God's going to bless it if we stay with His plan. Ask musicians to come around. Lord knows your heart.